All right, people, we all know the stakes of the 2024 election are high, whether it's keeping the Senate, taking back the House, or stopping Republicans at the state level. If you're ready to make a real difference, sign up for Vote Save America's 2024 volunteer program.
And just to make it interesting, we're pitting you against each other. Vote Save America will sort you onto a team, east or west, and you'll compete with a community of other volunteers to maximize your impact on the ground with opportunities tailored to you and the causes you care about.
The team with the highest volunteering stats could secure the biggest prize of all, the continuation of American democracy. Head to votesaveamerica.com/2024 now and get ready to organize or else.
This message has been paid for by Vote Save America. You can learn more at votesaveamerica.com, and this ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
We are back with an all-new Keep It Brief.
What a tall order to keep it brief. I feel like that's not our strong suit.
It really is not for you and I. Maybe when Kara gets back, she will keep us on a short, timely schedule.
With her, like, hand slap in the air waiting to, like, descend down on us for talking too long about whatever, ABBA.
We will talk about Ariana Grande upsetting the gays.
That's right. All of them.
And Lewis attacking straight people.
I don't want allies. I want them to go away.
And we'll have an interview with Casey Wilson about Bravo and other reality TV shows.
Living legend. Love her.
Kara's in that conversation.
Wee!
Because we recorded it before she left for Paris. We'll be right back. Well, it looks like the gays are coming for Ariana Grande like she is Marie Antoinette.
Here's what you need to know about the gays. They got to be sprinting full speed at somebody. You better pray it's not you.
So this isn't even American gays this time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not the dregs of gay Twitter. It is British gays.
So fancy anger.
Yeah. Fans are taking issue with the fact that she is headlining Manchester Pride.
Right.
So people are, one, saying that she doesn't represent the LGBTQ community and that she's exploiting the community by the price of tickets doubling this year. She responded on Twitter to one user saying, "I have nothing to do with ticket pricing. Manchester set those rates and they're mostly out of my control." But she did add that the LGBTQ community and the city of Manchester are special to her, obviously because of the Manchester bombing and then her doing the One Love benefit concert afterwards. I was rewatching that recently and just crying because she did a performance with Mac Miller.
Oh,
and
right.
And then I was watching other performances she did with Mac Miller and I had a night.
Wow. Okay, that sent you into a spiral.
Yes.
Doesn't take much. Okay.
Usually it's just me in my bedroom listening to Almost Doesn't Count by Brandy. But
beautiful song.
This had a video element this time.
Uh-huh. I'm an I Want to Be Down queen, for the record.
So she said that she wants to celebrate the community regardless of her identity. And she commented how important representation is. And she's always proud to share the stage with LGBTQ artists. And, you know, some of the people who are sharing the stage with her are Years and Years. And
that guy's gay.
Yeah, I love Ollie. And also Kim Petras and Lady Lesher are performing. And also Bananarama.
If you don't stand Bananarama, get the fuck out of the room. Cruel Summer, I Heard a Rumor, Fabulous Hits.
I Heard a Rumor is one of my favorite songs.
It's such a specific era of 80s pop. Okay, anyway, let's talk about what Pride represents for a second. By the way, of course we want queer artists performing. Of course we want to support them, give them money, make them as popular as all these damn straight people, whatever. When I think about Pride, I think about when I'm 11 years old or whatever, and I'm thinking of the things I'm still basically ashamed of. One of them is being into female pop stars. I'm sorry, like, I'm still feeling cajoled into buying things like Korn albums, and you better believe I still own Korn albums. I have issues.
Of course you're a freak on a leash.
Yes, and freak on a leash. I own both. I mean, that video was pretty hot at the time. But the thing is, like...
You know, my sexual awakening was... Have I talked about this before?
I'm frightened.
The Korn drummer, David Silveria. Do you remember his Calvin Klein ad?
Yes. Yes.
Just like shirtless in these Calvin Klein jeans, like smudged with grease, sitting on the hood of a car.
Right.
He was so hot in those photos. And I found them in the Teen People magazines that I used to buy because I was gay, but yes, also because like Sarah Michelle Gellar was on the cover.
Right. God, that was such an era of men who were... looked like undernourished and angry. It was like, Silverchair is what I think of. But anyway, I just feel like if I'm at Pride, first of all, it's not Pride unless I hear Madonna, who is definitely right, just a straight woman.
And people have pointed out that Pride has traditionally had people like Madonna, Kylie Minogue, Britney, Christina, you know,
yeah,
like
Cher, whatever.
Cher, it's been years of
it's like part of the legacy
pop women doing that, so it's odd to come for Ariana now.
Yeah, right. Especially since, I mean, she is basically what my gay friends agree on, you know.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, I just feel I feel like, you know, in the way that
and she's finally having a moment where like straight people like her now too, which means she's selling records.
Yeah,
unlike Carly Rae Jepsen, who all the gays mostly agree on, and yet straight people are always like, who?
No,
call
right,
me maybe?
No, you say the word Carly Rae Jepsen, they're like, did you stop talking? Like, what? Can't even hear the words. Also, Ariana Grande has demonstrated time and again that she is not just down with LGBT people, not just in name only, like, there for us, understanding. She just, I don't know, just a completely rad person. So I don't know why pinning this on her feels like a worthwhile use of anybody's time, especially since she's sharing the stage with people like Kim Petras, where can we make that trans superstar happen? Thanks.
Well, she's probably got to start working with Dr. Luke first.
Is that not over yet?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Her concert was cute this week, though.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
Who opened for her?
She was just her show. I also saw MNEK.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking
week,
of. Yeah, yeah.
Former Keep It guest.
That's right.
And former Keep It guest Raja Kumari opened for him.
Jesus Christ.
It was a Keep It night.
The Keep It Soul Train.
And I was coming from the Queer Tees, where Keep It lost Best Podcast.
Oh, who did we lose to?
Race Chaser.
Oh, just, well, I mean, at least it's a drag race podcast. That's not
drag
really
race
competitive with us.
Podcast.
Yeah, right.
It's not really in our genre. I feel like there should have been different genres of podcasts.
Yeah,
like
right.
Had different genres of movies.
Yeah, right. Like, this is a Karen Carpenter Stan podcast.
Right. There was blockbuster movie category, and then there was indie movie category.
Right.
Also, the show was weird. Because obviously, Olivia Colman's not showing up.
That's true.
So, like, 15 awards were presented via, like, a YouTube clip.
Oh, that's
at the,
nice.
At the beginning, while everyone was milling about getting drinks.
I love being rushed through a ceremony. Why not?
You know, the Oscars will do that next
oh,
year.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Actually, Ollie Alexander from Years and Years issued a statement, and he said, the last few years we've played many amazing Pride events. We're lucky to get asked, and I always donate part of the fee. And he brought up, which is actually my opinion on the issue, the fact that he would love to see more LGBT plus headliners across all the bills, but the reality is the lineup are a mix of artists depending on their availability and the need to sell tickets, because Prides normally raise money so they can put on their events and also donate to various, usually local causes. And the problem is people don't support queer artists.
Right.
You know, it's like, of course you want Lady Lesher or Kim Petras to headline Manchester Pride, but that's huge, you know? It's sort of like when you have people do it in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Our Pride is probably smaller in comparison because it's just West Hollywood.
Right.
But, you know, you think of New York Pride or something, you know?
But, and yeah, ours is still like Kesha or Carly Rae Jepsen. And
yes,
like
you
that.
Know? It's like, I was at the MNEK concert, you know, and it was pretty packed for the Troubadour, but I also know tons of gays in Los Angeles who either knew about the concert and didn't go, or didn't know about it. And I'm like, if we're not listening to our own artists and actually supporting them at their smaller concerts and buying their albums so that they can get bigger, then they're not going to be booked to sell out a huge event like Pride.
Right, right, right. Also, it does seem strange to me the pinning on Ariana Grande, and it sounds like they've backed off this, the ticket prices. It's like, well, it's an Ariana Grande concert. What do you expect it to be free? You know? Also, I feel like every year there's some dialogue about Pride in general becoming too corporate. And like, this is not an empowering thing, what I'm about to say.
Right, because
I like that people can make money off me.
Really?
I often feel like I, you know, I'm never
you want a rainbow LaCroix?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I want to feel like a viable, you know, member of like a horrible capitalist place, just like everybody else does. I feel I've earned it. You know.
Speaking of crusades on Twitter, Lewis.
Oh, what?
You?
What are you? What are you doing?
You went after Adam Devine.
Well, did I go after him?
You dragged him.
Okay. Well, mostly what they had done was taken a quote of his
from Gay Times.
Oh yeah. So,
which is, first of all, I saw that Instagram post from Gay Times magazine where he says, I want to see a movie about two gay guys where being gay is not the main issue in their lives. I want to see them on a completely different journey that has nothing to do with them being gay. And I assume he was interviewed because he's in the movie Isn't It Romantic, that Rebel Wilson film.
Right.
And I know there's like a gay character in the movie or something. I don't know if he is the gay character. All I know is I looked at part of the interview on Gay Times and I had to stop reading it because it weirdly positioned him as a gay icon.
What?
In the article, it says
nobody
that
in the Abbey has ever discussed the show Workaholics. It has never happened.
I feel like RuPaul once said Workaholics is gay and they just rolled with that.
Okay.
I'm going to read you this quote. Adam has gained the support of gay fans through on-screen roles including Pitch Perfect, Modern Family, Bad Neighbors, and Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, which saw him star alongside Zac Efron. Acknowledging his big gay following, he gushed that it was very flattering to have their support. It's funny because my first manager, TV producer Eddie October, is gay. Well, with a fucking name like that.
Eddie October. He sounds like somebody who manages the Monkees or something. Yeah. Also, that's not, I mean, like, he seems like a perfectly lovely person. Your stint on Modern Family has not inspired legions of gay fans. That's my feeling. But
oh, he said his manager, after seeing him do a stand-up set at the Hollywood Improv Club when he was 21, said, I love you, you're going to be a star. And he was putting together this all-gay stand-up show that he couldn't do because he was straight. But he wanted to make a tape of him doing stand-up, so apparently they filmed Adam Devine doing a set at the Abbey in front of an all-gay audience. And his manager
saved
was
us
like,
all.
You have no idea how many gay fans you're going to have. First of all, that's actually pretty cool that he did a stand-up set at the Abbey. I feel like the Abbey has never done that again.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I don't see stand-ups there regularly.
I see drag there and people doing, like, the trapeze.
And straight people making out.
Yes, a lot of that. And they're from exactly Torrance. Yeah.
Or Estonia.
Yes. That
The Abbey is always packed. I feel like it's the place that you don't want to really go because it's Woo Chile, the ghetto. But you know that if you have a random friend visiting during the week from out of town,
it's so good during the week. So good during the week.
Tuesday, Wednesday, because it's always going to be packed because there's always European tourists in LA.
Right.
And the gay ones are always at the Abbey.
Because that's the place they've heard of. They've got
yes.
to go and visit it, whatever. Anyway, I want to say about Adam Devine's quote, here's the thing. I'm not saying we don't need different kinds of gay-centric movies, but this sentiment that he said of, I want movies that have nothing to do with them being gay, it's like, I think that's a larger umbrella of movies than he realizes when you say things like that. To me, that's like
saying...
Sounds
like Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, right.
Sounds like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, just like a ton of movies. To me, it's like saying, you know what I'm sick of seeing in movies? A movie where a character gets a job. It's like, well, that's like a central part of people's lives. If you eliminate that from a movie, like, sure, you've seen it before, but That encompasses so much. So to say, like, it's about them being gay as if that's kind of a more annoying way to take on gay characters, I think is a little bit problematic and a little bit based in, like, an age-old homophobia about we just don't want to see that.
Right. It's obviously not his intention to be like,
right,
I don't want to see gay characters. I feel like it's also couched in that idea of when people say, like, I don't see color.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I want you to see color because the world does. So celebrate people who aren't white and let us tell our stories. And when people say things like, oh, I just want to see a movie where it's not about that person being black, what they're really saying is you don't want to see a movie where that person is being their true selves.
Right. You want to see a movie where they are basically just a white person.
Yes. Yeah. And we see enough of those.
I think something that also that bothered me about that quote is the idea that somehow we are overwhelmed with movies about gay characters acting a certain way. It's like, it still is pretty rare that a gay character has a main role in anything.
Yeah.
You know? So to pretend like we are constantly seeing, you know, too much of, you know, coming out stories, whatever. It's like, no, we're not. When Love, Simon came out last year, that was basically revolutionary.
Right. And even Isn't It Romantic, the movie he's in, which has a gay character in it, it's not a movie about that gay character.
Yeah,
it's not a gay character getting trapped in a rom-com. It's
right.
Rebel Wilson.
Precisely.
The first fat woman to ever do it.
That's true.
Remember that?
But of course, I would like to recommend to him, based on what he said, it's like, Can You Ever Forgive Me was out last year. That's a movie full of gay people do up to mischief, which sounds like what he'd buy a ticket for.
Sounds like what Eddie October is up to.
Eddie October is so Hanna-Barbera. That's so crazy.
I hope he wins the Wacky Races.
Yeah. Wacky Races, I think, is Ira's number one favorite reference. Next to number one ladies detective agency.
Yes.
If we're not the number one purveyor of number one ladies detective agency jokes, please someone direct me to who that is.
Probably Race Chaser. That's why they won.
We needed that edge, damn it.
When we're back, we talk to Casey Wilson about reality shows. Well, Kara and I do, and Lewis talks about the Carpenters.
Keep It is brought to you by Hinge. Hinge is the dating app designed to be deleted.
If you're really good at it, that is. I've actually met several really good friends through Hinge. I've used it, I can't believe this, over a decade now. Woof, what a life I've had.
Well, you know what they've added within a decade of us being on Hinge is their new LGBTQIA+ prompts, which are designed to help queer daters better connect based on similarities, interests, and compatibility.
Hinge prompts helps you show off your full personality and connect with someone who appreciates you. Plus, these prompts were created in collaboration with GLAAD, so they are by the people, for the people. Some of the prompts are, the first time I knew I was gay was, I was literally in the act of being gay, like hooking up with somebody when I admitted it. Denial is strong and hard in the Catholic Midwest.
Mine was Tom Cruise's Vanity Fair cover, the shirtless one.
You just turned to an imaginary camera and said, I'm gay.
Yeah, I broke the fourth wall.
You're like Fleabag. Other prompts include, I feel proudest of who I am when, it feels affirming when others, blank, I connect to my community by, I wish I could tell the younger version of myself. I'm going to say, whenever I watch that in a Drag Race semifinal, when they're like, if I could talk to my younger self, I would say, I would be like, girl, get tighter clothes. I mean, what's going on with what you're wearing? You look like you're in the X Games. Other prompts include, my chosen family is the best at, and gender euphoria looks like. Download Hinge and show off your full self using their LGBTQIA+ prompts today. Then find someone worth deleting the app for.
Keep It is brought to you by Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop.
The early 2000s was a wild time for reality TV. I was there. I remember. There seemed to be an endless supply of shows that delivered entertainment for us, but trauma for children, like Dance Moms, the infamous Lifetime Network show where the studio owner screamed at children and their moms over several seasons. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea?
They recently looked behind the scenes of what was really going on at Abby Lee Miller's dance studio. Well, we know that someone created the beast known as JoJo Siwa.
You think we see the lab workings that created JoJo Siwa?
Yeah.
One pigtail, two pigtails.
And Chemical X. Abby's biggest misstep actually wasn't screaming nonsensical catchphrases or throwing chairs on television, but instead she was choreographing financial fraud in plain sight.
Well, follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, it's been a rough year. It's going to get rougher, and you deserve a little treat for not going insane yet. You could head to the local tiki bar and tell the bartender, do your worst. But we have a better idea for you, which is pick out something from the Crooked Store. The store is stocked with tons of new merch. It's perfect for the spring. And classics like the Friend of the Pod tees that you'll be wearing long after the next administration or the next fascist dictatorship, depending on how things go. Pick up a new tee for the warm weather ahead, a mug that'll remind you to stay involved this election year, or a hat celebrating your favorite pod. Go to crooked.com/store to shop.
Welcome back to Watch What Happens Live. I'm Andy Cohen.
You better not be.
I'm secretly Andy Cohen.
Oh, okay.
I have been Andy Cohen for years, and now you know.
No, I mean, the ambition's all over your face. I'm not saying you don't want to be Andy Cohen, but I'm just saying we shouldn't be at a projection place yet.
Okay. Well, Clubhouse is too small for
okay.
me.
Okay. Yeah, true.
Couldn't be there. Anyway, hello. We are here with Casey Wilson herself.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here, guys.
Casey.
Feels right.
This is our Nook. Welcome.
Yes. Oh. Kara and I have been into the Nook when we were on Bitch Sesh with you and Danielle Schneider.
In my dirty kitchen. This is a proper setup. I'm seeing like five tech people staring at me. Danielle and I have like my cleaning woman like pressing play on a laptop. And it never uploads.
And your husband, David, wandering by.
Wandering by, like, making a smoothie. This is really, these are some inspirational, aspirational dreams.
We do have a couple of plants, too. Yeah, the scene is set.
You have a rug.
Oh, yeah.
You have a rug.
Not under that
Not
table.
Not under the table.
In my home.
You know, we are very excited for you to be here because we have been sneaking in convos about Bravo and things on the show just between Kara and I. And it's been funny watching Lewis listen to us talk about Bravo.
I do have to say my interest in Bravo took a nosedive, like sort of after Project Runway left. That's basically what happened. But I am a Bethany Frankel fan in a deep way.
Yeah, so.
Wow, I'm processing everything
you
just
said. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
And yet you seem to, from what I've heard of you, you know everything about pop culture, and yet you will not really dip into Bravo.
I do love reality TV. I have like a couple of blind spots, and Housewives World is a little bit one of them. I'm sort of ashamed of it.
Everything is a stretch, by the way.
Okay.
Well, so one of the things we're talking about is why, like, quote, unquote, smart people like reality TV and the Housewives.
Thank you, Kara.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, we're smart. It's fine.
I'm in Mensa.
Oh, yeah. What about the Housewives has not drawn you in? Because we, you know.
Well, it's interesting because I was a one-time, like, real-world super
fan. And that's an accusation.
Yes, that was.
I think, well, my thing with Housewives is once you fall behind, my instinct is it's impossible to catch up. But I think that's not true. I bet if you can pick up any season.
It's the exact opposite.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, so. Casey, do you remember because when I was on Bitch Sesh and I will forever take the crown of getting you guys back on Vanderpump Rules, and you and Danielle had been off it, mm-hmm. and then you returned.
And you told us what we needed to hear, which is that you're not supposed to like it.
Yes.
Or the people.
The people.
You're supposed to like the show, but you're not supposed to like the people. And not that I like one housewife because I don't, but I really disliked the Vanderpump people. But I was viewing the framework all wrong.
Yeah.
And now I actually love them all. And despise them. Those garbage monsters. Those 45-year-old reality stars. So
with no air conditioning in their homes.
Slat blinds and dirty carpets.
It's funny because I feel like all these shows are like a comedy of manners.
Yeah.
And it's just with people who have no class. And mm-hmm. so it's like you're watching, I don't know, the servants try to do.
Try to be
They're
fancy.
They're definitely all like the downstairs.
Yes, yes. No, because, you know, it's like Lisa Vanderpump is the ringleader and she's just letting these people who work at at her restaurant. None of them work there anymore, which is funny why they still have fights on the show about who gets to work there or getting people fired. It's right. Like none of you
Ariana is
in.
Always shaking a martini shaker. Never not. She's talking about her vagina or she's shaking a martini mixer.
But yeah, none of them seem to work there anymore.
Except for Lisa Sun Max, who is still a barback.
Yeah. And
I've
Peter.
Seen him there.
Yeah.
Peter's a manager. Peter is a full manager.
Poor Peter.
He's there every day.
Do you, well then, who do you think of the Housewives cities is the closest to like, real, because, you know, Beverly Hills was an interesting one when it started because they all had, like, serious money. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the first Real Housewives where you were like, okay, all of these women are very rich.
Yeah, that felt nice.
Yeah, which is what we want, which is the promise
Thank
of the premise.
You.
But, like, I wonder which ones are, like, the most sort of legit rich ladies, if you know what I mean.
Definitely Beverly Hills. I think New York, then Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think OC seems... very dodgy. Tamara lives in a condo.
She moved.
Oh, she did move.
She and Eddie upgraded.
That's right. That's right.
Because they've been decorating their house with some SponCon.
I mean, except for Heather Dubrow, of course, yes. Who is just disgusting.
Can we talk about Heather? Have you watched... So Heather Dubrow of the Real Housewives
yes,
of Orange
I
County.
Have watched.
She and her husband spent what felt like 18 years building this truly like a museum.
A
that
horrendous
they call a
museum.
And she has been doing these YouTube videos where she gives tours of different sections of the house.
And they're the saddest tours. She's like, this is a corner of my husband's closet. And this is the middle of an office.
She did one that was just like a staircase.
Yes! And then she'll just show like a vase. And it is truly so ugly that I cannot believe she's presenting it with such verve.
See, that's what I love about it. It's sort of like an update of, you know, when you had like a Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, it always seemed like it was being curated. You know, like Robin Leach is giving you like an insight into... rich people, a life that you can't have. Mm-hmm. Once we've gotten the Real Housewives now, these people have sort of become the curators themselves, but they don't have, like, the taste, you know? It's like, it's Cribs to an even worse degree.
It's very, because, like, be careful what you wish for.
It's
like, here it is. Yeah.
They are the
here
ones leading you around.
You have a basketball court in your house, and you were in an arranged marriage.
My favorite genre of, one of my favorite things of Real Housewives is when anyone is remodeling a home.
Because
it happens for seasons.
So good.
I mean, the worst ones are Dallas. Remember when they wanted to buy that home with a pool in the living room?
Which they bought. And she was like, I don't think this is practical.
I think our kids might drown in it.
This is a real specific throwback. When Ramona was redoing the Hamptons house.
Never forget.
Like, after the divorce.
The reveal of that was so upsetting.
It looked the
She's
same.
She's like, guys, I've been working on this for 15 years.
It looked the same.
It was the exact same, if not worse.
How can she spend, it's got to be 9 years now, looking like she was recently electrocuted. Just everything about her.
Here's the thing. No. Because Ramona is like 60 years old. Mm-hmm. That bitch looks...
Benjamin Button.
She
Grammar.
Looks good.
Oh, no, I mean...
She looks good.
That, I mean, just like, there's something in her eyes
crazy
of like,
eyes, yes.
scary.
Yeah, you know? That's the Ramona eyes. But Ramona, this is... I have said this to people. If I were to ever get plastic surgery... On my body, I would let someone in L.A. do it. My face, I'm not letting these L.A. butchers touch my face. Because the work done in New York, like those Upper East Side, like whoever Martha Stewart is going to and like Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
And honestly, Ramona, whatever, it took a minute to settle, but it looks good.
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Okay, we have to talk about Jules Erin. How are we feeling?
New York is coming back.
New York is coming back.
In
Here's
March.
Why I don't want Jill. If she didn't want it so much, I would... be okay with it, but she needs it so much it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, during her husband's funeral, I've heard tell she's calling publicists saying this is a great time to get her back in, to ride that roller coaster. It's tough.
She just was so... It was interesting with Jill because I didn't like her in a fun way at all. And like some of these women I actually do not like, but even the ones you don't like, when they ebb and flow, like a Tamara or Bethany who have their seasons where they're fun to watch and seasons where they're not. Like Jill was just, it was so desperate and they're all desperate, but the way her desperation manifests itself is just like, I don't want to watch her.
I encourage all of you to watch the wife swap with Jill and Bobby Zarin when they swapped with Blossom. No, six. Six.
Oh, wow.
From
Jenna Von
Blossom.
Oy.
Jenna Von Oy. Yes. Jenna Von Oy lives in like the sticks and is like, I live a simple life. And then there comes Jill Zarin. It is wild.
I love Jenna just because I felt like she spent 20 years being the white friend on black sitcoms.
Yeah. That's where I should belong myself. 100%. And I'm upset that that's not.
Well, you
haven't gotten there yet.
Well, you were on Black Monday on Showtime. And
which, by the way, has every actor I've ever heard of and might run into. Like, oh, Andrew Rannells. I'll probably meet him sometime. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
when he's in town, he goes to my gym.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not wrong. Anyway. Yeah.
I'm going to keep him far away from you, Lewis.
Okay, moving on.
Far away. But no, like Regina Hall and Don Cheadle, you know, it's sort of almost a blush.
It is.
Yes, you know.
Yeah.
So you're on there.
I know. You're right.
You're Jenna Von Oy now.
You've done it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like premium cable Jenna Von Oy.
Yeah. Well, I'm always the same part no matter what I do. If I'm on network, I'm like, girl, you better get out there. And on cable, I'm like, I care about you. You should get out there.
It's good to corner a market, though. Much like the Real Housewives, you know what sells.
You need to know your place.
You need to know your place.
Do you know my favorite thing about looking at your filmography is you are kind of an Amy
Sedaris.
Yes, like, everything you've done, you're like an Amy Sedaris, where I associate you with a couple of main things, like, oh, you host that awesome podcast. You're on one of my favorite TV shows. And then I forget all these other credits and things you've done. I'm like, oh, my God, you're in my life constantly. You're just in movie secretly.
So sorry.
Gone Girl, what an amazing performance, you know.
Thank you.
So thank you for being, like, surprisingly, slyly, very varied.
Thank you. That's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
One of my actual favorite things
I think myself.
That I had forgotten about was I was on a plane and I was having an Anne Hathaway day because they had like six of her movies. And I watched Bride Wars.
I wrote that movie.
You
I
sure
know.
Did.
Yes. And
with June Diane.
And I don't think I knew that. And then I'm watching it in the credits and I'm like, and then you're in it too.
There I am. Popping up. Yeah, that was June and I's first job, and we wanted to be actors so badly. I mean, the way Jill Zarin wants back on. And we got a call that said this agent wanted to meet with us. We were like, well, this is it. Like, I'm done with my friends. I'm done with my life. Like, I'm blowing everything up.
Was there a funeral for you to invite them to
100%.
As well?
And then we got a call that said, you know, this agent wants to meet with you. We're so excited. And when we got there, he's like, so listen, you know, I'm a literary agent. And we were so devastated. I went to the bathroom. We went to the bathroom. I had tears in my eyes. And I said, June, he thinks we're ugly. It's like a writer. What? Never been so insulted in my life. But
it's like a step above real estate. Yeah.
It's not even.
Yeah.
You know, real estate, you generally are like kind of cute and.
Yeah, you got to present well.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a world where things really took a turn and you were like, maybe they're doing the Real Housewives of Hollywood?
Of Los Feliz. No, I can't. Like, so someone was like, why don't you go on Cameo? You guys don't Cameo that.
Cameo emailed me and asked me to do it, and I said no. And then they keep sending you emails being like, this person's on it. Mm-hmm. Logan Paul's doing it.
Danielle Stiles.
I bought a bunch of them. I have a text thread.
I'm their best customer.
I had just discovered it. I had a text thread, like a Bravo-themed text thread, and one of them, like, Katie Weaver's on it, and Kate Trees, and, like, Maddie Davies. So all, like, writers. And I secretly, like, got all of the recordings for all of them, and I just sent it to them unprompted. So I just, like, texted each of them this video of, I forgot who I know I got Kelly Bensimone was one of them.
Was she jogging while she wrote it?
She was, like, in a cab or something. Like, she was in a...
Sonia was in the Miami airport just strolling and being like, huh, there's a neck pillow. Happy birthday, Danielle.
I was just going to ask, is the primary use of Cameo still happy birthday, mostly? Like, mostly it's birthday greetings.
The way I use it is to trick them into saying things for our podcast that they wouldn't want to say. My co-host, Danielle Schneider, is very open about the fact that she's let some grooming go downstairs.
Okay.
She's let things just let it go. And so I had all of them, like James, Daniel Staub, and God, Sheena Marie say just like, we're hope you're trimming things up. But I made it like you're trimming up your life and shaking things up. Like, it made no sense. But they all said it like word for word. And it was amazing.
You know what's funny to me? I mean, and I know that it taps into like people are just like desperate and want to be famous. But in particular with the Cameo stuff, when you have rich people who are doing like SponCon, Like, when I see Kim Kardashian still doing SponCon, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, this makes no sense.
I know.
And the cameo, they can't be making that much money.
Well, you can see how much they're
making. Yeah, they're not making that much money. And it's not going to be broadcast in a way where they're going to become more famous.
No, it's like, I didn't know that they were doing transactions just between one person and them. That's not like...
Yeah, and like, Ramona has money. And you're like, did you need that $150?
I guess it's fostering in the way that, you know, actors used to charge for their autograph or something. It's just, it's audio now. I don't know. I got one for Christmas for my best friend, Sam, and I got Sonia to do it.
Yeah.
She was doing it still in front of her Christmas tree, and you could hear that there was someone in her kitchen just talking in the background.
An intern. Like,
it's, Pickles. I mean,
one of the interns.
You can make a quick, you know, like, $100-something dollars by just picking up your phone in your living room and going, hey, this is Sonia.
Well, Sonia needs the money, though. Yeah. So
that is true.
What do you think happened to Pickles?
So I was just talking about this. I'm like, is Pickles gone the way of, like, God, what's her name? Miscavige. Shelley Miscavige.
Oh, yeah. On a boat somewhere.
Is she just, like, gone?
Pickles was one of, for the real, the deep fans, Pickles was one of Sonia's interns.
Fan favorite.
One of her confused deer in the headlights interns populated the house.
I met an intern of Sonia's this weekend who said that he just emailed her website. She wrote him right back and was like, come on over Tuesday anytime. So he just wanders in and he said he worked for a summer just showing up whenever. And that I was like, well, what's a sample job and were you paid? He's like, oh, absolutely not paid. He said a sample job was building a fence around her koi pond because, quote, a lot of dogs and cats had died in there. Had drowned. I said, you mean the fish were dying? And he said, no, she said dogs and cats. Oh,
what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Upton Sinclair's The Jungle over here? What is going on?
I love how she's like a modern, what was it, Joan Crawford? Because remember, it was that she, like, fans of hers, she would let them be her assistant.
Yeah, like Mama,
and live with her.
Like Mamacita.
Yes.
Mamacita at least had a home and things, but other fans would be like, oh my God, I love you. Yeah. And she's like, come live with me and be my assistant for
because it's so narcissistic.
Weeks.
It's like, I know you're all in with me.
Sonia's maybe, like, Sonia's one of the housewives where Sonia's dark moments, you know, they're not Taylor dark, but
she's
had some dark moments. Oh. Yeah.
Some of the beauty of the show, actually, particularly why Beverly Hills was always one of my favorites, is that it always felt sort of like a pristine drama. You're watching these people's lives in Hollywood, and you're just getting, like, the slow peel behind the curtain. It was very, like, American Beauty. Just so, like, because it's about, like, part of the reason why, even as the show got really boring last season, the ratings were still high because apparently people were still watching it for the lifestyle aspect. Yeah. So that seemed more like a lifestyle show instead of a drama-driven one. But it was fun when the drama would sort of seep out of it. You know, it's like you're just watching these, like, rich bitches be crazy. Yeah. And then season one ends with revelations that Kim's an alcoholic, screaming about Kyle stealing their house.
That's maybe one of the
darkest scenes that we've had.
I mean, so I don't know if you can pick one. To me, the best Real Housewives episode ever is the Berkshires episode, part one. The original part. Like, best real episode of
Real
Housewives.
Part one of 25.
Part one of 25. Part one of they should release the uncut footage. But the limo one is, it's not like fun in the way Berkshires was, but
it's
so iconic.
Fun. Yeah, because they're related and they give us a drama that casual friends cannot ultimately.
Yeah.
They're sisters and she's harboring the secret that her sister is an alcoholic and screaming it in a limo on national television. It's so revolutionary.
Yeah, yeah. Could you pick a favorite episode?
What's your favorite?
Oh, God.
Mine is still Beverly Hills, The Dinner Party from Hell.
With the psychic,
Just the idea psychic who Patricia Arquette's show Medium is based on is there smoking an e-cigarette telling Kyle your husband is going to leave you. And the fact that Faye Resnick is there and she's called out by Camille for posing in Playboy after her friend Nicole was murdered by OJ.
I like Scary Island, that one when Kelly Ben-Simone was out on the island and went on that monologue that was so unintelligible. She's like, you're like Gwyneth Paltrow, jelly beans. And don't tell me to go to bed.
Mountaintop. Al Sharpton. Yeah. She's like, call me Al Sharpton. Satchels of Gold. And it was like watching just something.
One time,
meltdown.
I interviewed Kelly Benson. It was years ago. It was for a random website. And I was familiar with her on the show, and I knew she sort of...
You were familiar with her work?
Her non sequiturs, kind of. And I picked up the phone, talked to her. Truly, writing it down, it was like a serial killer sending a message through code. Like, I just had no idea. Like, Zodiac, like, none of the words matched up. But then at the end, it was a movie website, actually. And she said, oh, my favorite movie is Rear Window. And I was like, oh, that's my favorite movie, too. Are we, you know, related or something? Yeah. You know, it was very scary.
That was my favorite episode for a long time. Scary Island.
Part one. Part two is... I mean, it's still all together iconic, but the thing about we were saying about Jill before, it is so, I love how it should be darker that Kelly is like having some sort of mental breakdown on the island.
No, it's played for comedy.
That's played for comedy.
The musical's like, dee, 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 boop.
Until Sonia, of all people, is sort of like, maybe she needs help.
And Sonia's teeth, more teeth fall out.
Sonia was like, guys, we have to be nice to her. Something's wrong with her. Like, in front of Kelly.
Very wrong.
I love how that should be the darkest, but the actual darkest is the third part of Scary Island, where
when Jill shows up,
because there's just something so dark about you surprising your friends on a vacation, them seeing you and saying, you need to leave.
You need to
leave.
No one wants
shaking.
You here.
Alex is convulsing.
You're like, look at what you're doing to her. She's shaking.
While
no one wants you here.
While they're getting pedicures. Can I tell you that my last anecdote, and I know our producer is going to murder us. I was watching that episode, the Berkshires episode. I was home in Seattle with my dad.
You'll never forget where you were.
I'll never forget where I was, and I was watching it. And he could hear it. Like, I was watching it, and he just was listening in the background, kind of. And the next morning, I was writing a post. I was at Jezebel still about that episode. And my dad's like, what are you writing about? I was like, I'm writing about the Real Housewives, Luann, da-da-da. And he goes, oh, Luann the slut?
Wow.
Because he had heard Bethany screaming it.
Luann
and I was like,
the
slut. Yes.
But that's how much it's permeated the culture, because you said you didn't know anything, and yet I feel like a couple times today you were like, I did see that episode.
Right, no.
It's just
you
all
do feel
around
obligated.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. And also along with the WWE thing, it's like, you're right, characters have to come around again, because it would be so interesting if one stayed bad, for example. You know, like, they know how to keep it really entertaining.
So that's why, finally, I will say, it is not hard for you to jump into a Housewives franchise, because much like wrestling, much like even watching a soap opera, you know, it's a long running show, and the women, the configurations may change, but in season 11 of Real Housewives of New York, they are still technically fighting about the same thing that they were fighting about in season 2. It's just in a different situation.
Well, Andy said, not to quote him, I'm like, Sir Andy, Andrew once said that he wanted to build the franchise in a way that you think you couldn't live without someone, but you can.
Wow.
So that they never need someone too much, but I think Nene's sitting next to him because they know they need her.
That's how I live my friendships.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one's denying that.
Go at any point.
Yeah, right.
You can go at any point.
Am I going now?
Goodbye, Casey.
Bye, guys.
Thank you to Casey Wilson and Eddie October and you all for listening to our latest Keep It Brief. We'll see you next week.
And thank you to me.